Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about a shakeup at the Illinois Prisoner Review Board following the fatal stabbing of a child, and a conversation about guaranteed income developing at the Illinois State House. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop.
Do you know what elected officials in Illinois are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want to make sure that your voice is heard? If so, then you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch how your elected officials make decisions, hold them accountable for their actions, and be a more informed citizen. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to get involved in the democratic process and to make a difference in your community. Subscribe today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here's some of the top stories from the past week. A shakeup at the Illinois Prisoner Review Board has Republicans calling for reforms. Katrina Peterson reports.
Illinois Senate Minority Leader John Curran said the resignation of two people from the board following a recent parolee allegedly murdering a child and stabbing their mother is another example of Governor J.B. Pritzker failing to oversee an agency under his control. State Senator Jason Plummer said the PRB shouldn't be under Pritzker's control.
He has tried to ram unqualified appointees through the Senate. And when the Senate has objected, he has not worked with us.
Plummer said Pritzker has gone about the board appointment process differently than prior governors.
Under Governor Blagojevich, under Governor Quinn, under Governor Rauner, the voting on the PRB stayed relatively consistent.
I'm Katrina Peterson.
Saying unrestricted cash needs to be part of the safety net, advocates are pushing for a statewide guaranteed income law. Opponents say taxpayers already fund safety net programs. Senate Bill 3462, as filed, would create a board to implement a statewide guaranteed income program. Pilot programs in Chicago and the Metro East St. Louis area are ongoing, costing taxpayers millions. Amaya Pawar with the Economic Security Project gave examples of people using the money to buy sports goods for their children or even to take a vacation.
And all of this money that goes into the pockets to stabilize households flows through local businesses. So you see some of this money back in sales taxes and other taxes.
Mike Bueller, who's the McHenry County Board Chairman, said his personal opinion, unrestricted cash would be bad for taxpayer-funded safety net programs that go for specific assistance.
And to get this income, they may not necessarily and that in their own best interest or the interest of the citizens at large.
The measure remains in committee. Those are the top stories from the past week from Illinois. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, a production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Tired of being in the dark about what happens day to day under the dome in Springfield? Do you want to be more informed in the decision-making process? If so, you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch elected officials in action, holding them accountable, and having your say on issues that matter most to you. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to stay informed about Illinois state government and to be a more engaged citizen. Become a subscriber today at blueroomstream.com.
Greetings and welcome to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. We are recording this on Thursday, March 28th. Controversy is brewing at the Illinois Prisoner Review Board. Two board members, including its chairman, resigned this week after it was revealed that an inmate with a history of domestic violence offenses, whom the board let out of prison early, attacked his former girlfriend and her son with a knife the day after his release, killing the 11-year-old boy. Governor J.B. Pritzker has a history of appointing controversial individuals to the Prisoner Review Board, including his appointment in 2021 of a convicted double murderer. Joining me today to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Associate Editor. Greg, Let's start with this week's resignation stemming from the tragic murder of an 11-year-old boy and the attempted murder of his mother. Give us some more details about this.
Yeah, so Leanne Miller was a member of the Illinois Prisoner Review Board, and it was announced midday Monday by the governor's office that she was stepping down, and the governor even going on with a detailed statement talking about the steps that the Illinois Prisoner Review Board members should take. And he said that his thoughts are with those who are dealing with the loss of a child, and in announcing that Leanne Miller was resigning. And then later on in the day, as more details came out about that case, the chair, Donald Shelton, also resigned. So interesting to see this, especially because the Illinois Prisoner Review Board has been a point of contention for Republicans at the Illinois State House. And not even Republicans being the only ones, there are some Democrats who've had concerns as well, as previous appointees from the governor did not get the necessary votes to be officially secured and appointed to those positions. So what is the Illinois Prisoner Review Board? It's a board that consists of gubernatorial appointees, and they have to be confirmed by the Illinois Senate after a certain amount of time of being appointed. And what the board does is they review parole applications, and they also help kind of oversee that entire process. So when somebody who's convicted of a crime, they want to get out on parole and have a probationary period, they would appeal to the Illinois Prisoner Review Board. The board would then take these cases, review all the pertinent documentation, and they would make a decision on what to do with that individual who's appealing for parole. And in some cases, it turns out where you've got a horrible story, as is being reported about the situation around Crosetti Brand. Now, Miller, who was announced, resigned on Monday from the parole board, she heard Brand's petition and actually prepared a draft order provided to a panel of two additional members for concurrence, and that's per the Prisoner Review Board procedure. But Brand being alleged to have then gone and stabbed and killed an 11-year-old and stabbed a mother who I believe was pregnant, this is being reported. So the backlash here is pretty loud. And you've got Republicans critical of how the governor's managed the Prisoner Review Board, but not just in this instance. Republican State Senator Jason Plummer said this is not a one-off. He pointed to an extensive list of concerns from the past 5 years under the Pritzker administration, even all the way back to several appointees that the governor would make. The legislature, in particular the Illinois Senate, would not take on those appointments to confirm them. So after the threshold was reached of the number of days that somebody can be appointed and not confirmed, the governor would withdraw the name and reappoint that person, essentially resetting the clock on this. So clearly, Republicans have a lot of concern and a lot of criticism of how the governor's handled the Illinois Prisoner Review Board and the decisions that the Illinois Prisoner Review Board has made. Some are actually looking for legislation to work at making this even more independent instead of a board that is appointed with possible politics lingering in the back room. So a lot more to be said on the Illinois Prisoner Review Board.
One more just piece of information about the individual, Crosetti Brand, who was released early from prison by the Prisoner Review Board. There was an ongoing court case against him where his ex-girlfriend was seeking a domestic violence order of protection against him. And that details of that either got lost via communication with the Prisoner Review Board. But so not only was he in jail on several violations and had a history of domestic violence, but his ex-girlfriend was seeking an order of protection against him. And we all know what happened.
Yeah, even the governor in a statement he made said, quote, "It's clear that evidence in the Brand case was not given the careful consideration that victims of domestic violence deserve."
Yeah, that's really unbelievable. So right now, though, the law assigns Pritzker to appoint these these board members, these prisoner board members, in most instances, or in many, I guess I shouldn't say this, in many instances, it's not just one person who's appointing all these, you know, board members. Sometimes the legislature's involved or whatever. And have you heard any conversation about whether or not the legislature should take over at least some of those board nominations?
Well, you do have the Senate that, you know, they're part of the appoint and confirm process. So the Senate does have its role in this. But maybe there could be some discussion to possibly have others appoint individuals to the Prisoner Review Board. Maybe the House Speaker and the Senate President or leaders of all four caucuses get an appointee. So there are some ways to do that. What legislators discuss, debate, and possibly enact, we have yet to see. But clearly, as spring session gets ready to ramp up in Springfield, this is going to be one of those points that Republicans, I think, are going to hit on quite a bit.
Thank you, Greg. Let's move on. Currently, there's a bill in the legislature in the ongoing session that would provide a guaranteed monthly income, unrestricted cash, to some Illinois residents who qualify across the state. It would be taxpayer funds. And there was some pushback in a committee hearing this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Senate Bill 3462, as filed, lays out the Illinois Guaranteed Income Law, and it would establish a board with the Department of Human Services to evaluate the program, propose statewide policies, and review the landscape of cash supports available to low-income families. It goes on further to say it would offer up $1,000 a month to Illinois residents, regardless of immigration status. So this measure, as filed, Senate Bill 3462, it was the subject of a hearing this week up in Chicago with an Illinois Senate Appropriations Committee, and State Senator Ron Villivallum from Chicago, Democrat from Chicago, he provided an amendment, and they didn't pass the amendment, but the amendment would simply only create the task force to investigate this. It would remove all the other provisions about laying out, you know, the program and saying it's going to happen. Instead, they're looking at possibly creating this task force to lead to universal basic income. Clearly, you know, a lot more to be said about the idea of a guaranteed income. The debate about what's the difference between guaranteed income and universal basic income, how this is going to be paid for, and so on. But the measure has a substantial number of supporters and a substantial number of opponents. Last I checked, it was about 400 on each side that have filed witness slips. I talked to one of those opponents, the McHenry County Board Chairman Mike Bueller, and he laid out his concerns and his opinion. He said that this is going to hurt work productivity. If people are going to get $1,000 a month for nothing and it's unrestricted cash, they could spend it on whatever. There's no impetus to go out and work, especially with the idea that this could be stacked on top of other social safety net programs like supplemental nutrition assistance, which goes directly to food, like the low-income heating assistance program, LIHEAP, that helps pay for energy bills, or even like the temporary assistance for needy families, which are cash payments for families that can show they are in need. On top of all of those things, you can see the concern of what kind of incentive is there to actually get to work, let alone the exorbitant cost that this could be if something like this was implemented. But Dan, one thing that supporters are pointing to is 150 different individual programs across the country, several of which are pilot programs in the state of Illinois. You've got one in Chicago where former Mayor Lori Lightfoot kicked that off. It gave $500 a month to 5,000 Chicago residents that meet a certain threshold. But even down in the Metro East St. Louis area, you had in 2022 the state start a pilot program for guaranteed income, which was about $3.2 million. So the concerns about what kind of cost this could be, the impact on the economy, will clearly update people as this story progresses. But no action has been taken on the amendment. The bill as filed remains in committee, but clearly this seems to be a priority for some legislators.
Two final things on this, Greg. You mentioned up front, if approved and this task force comes up with a plan, individuals who could receive this guaranteed income, it doesn't matter their immigration status. They don't have to be U.S. citizens. They could be migrants. Of course, we've talked on Illinois in Focus and written a lot at thecentersquare.com about what's going on in Chicago, but also statewide, primarily in Chicago, about the growing number of foreign nationals who have moved to Chicago from the southern border, more than 35,000, I think, is the last that we reported, that taxpayers in Illinois and in the city of Chicago have been paying hundreds of millions of dollars to support, both for shelter, for food, for health care, things like that. So this would be even on top of that. The taxpayer support for these migrants. And the second thing I just wanted to point out, you referenced, and we've reported on this at thecentersquare.com as well, there are about 150 programs throughout the U.S. I know because we've reported on it, I've known many of those programs are funded by COVID relief dollars that Congress sent to states and municipalities during the height of the pandemic. That money is running out soon. So for these 150 programs, if they are to continue into the future, it will be local and state taxpayers that have to pay for it. Any closing thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, just to the opponents who say that this could hurt productivity, Bueller, the chair of the McHenry County Board, he told me that for the regardless of immigration status, he said the unintended consequence there could be an even more increased number of migrants coming to Illinois to look for benefits and not having to work for it. But supporters of this say that this helps families who find themselves in hard times, and they could use the money unrestricted for everything from soccer cleats to vacations. So clearly a lot more is going to be said about this in the weeks and months ahead.
Gun rights has been a big issue in Illinois for over the past year because of the law that was fired that bans about 170 different types of handguns, rifles, and as well as accessories. But it really has the controversy over gun rights in Illinois goes much farther back than that. Illinois residents are required to get certified by state police to get a firearm owner's identification card just to legally purchase a firearm in the state. Well, a recent court decision regarding a non-citizen has at least Republicans, but many gun rights opponents saying that recent decision should mean the end of FOID. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is an interesting case. There's lots of litigation out there challenging the state's gun ban, even challenging the state's firearm owner ID card, and also a lawsuit challenging the state's prohibition of being able to concealed carry a firearm on public transportation, even if you have a concealed carry permit. But outside of all of that, an interesting case was decided by a Northern District federal judge earlier this month that deals with an illegal immigrant who was found in possession of a firearm in Illinois, and that illegal immigrant was charged with unlawful possession for the prohibition of non-citizens who are in this country illegally from having firearms. Well, Northern District of Illinois federal judge Sharon Johnson Coleman ruled in favor of Herberto Flores, a foreign national in the U.S. illegally, who was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm. She wrote in her opinion earlier this month that the law, the federal law, violates the Second Amendment as applied in this one case. This has split the Second Amendment rights community in a couple of ways. One way, you've got people who say this is an outrageous ruling that you know, the individuals in this country illegally are given more Second Amendment rights than an Illinoisan, for instance, who has to jump through hoops and get a FOID card. And that FOID card, Dan, if you didn't know this, comes with regular background checks conducted on each one of those people regularly, if not multiple times a week. Those hoops that people have to jump through, they see that as a burden, and that's why the FOID card's being challenged in federal court. But they are also pointing to this case saying, while they're upset that the idea of an undocumented migrant being given the right to possess a firearm for self-protection, they say that if that's the case, then the FOID card is enough of a hindrance on law-abiding individuals from being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, which the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. So how the case moves forward, this is just in the district court. It'll likely get to the appeals court and who knows, go all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But clearly, some are saying that the FOID card should be voided because of this ruling. So a lot of different litigation. This one caught some people by surprise in the outcome. But obviously that outcome for some is highlighting that the FOID card is a infringement. And they are likely using that as ammunition to go after the state's firearm owner identification card.
That is an interesting development, Greg, and I know you and your team will follow progress in the courts as it's relevant to our listeners here. Moving on, Greg, new unemployment numbers came out recently, and Illinois' rate is nearly a full percentage point above the national unemployment rate, and also easily tops all of our neighboring states. Some critics of business regulations, the tax burden in Illinois, are saying this is just another example of why Illinois needs to become more pro-business. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Illinois has traditionally lagged the nation in its unemployment rate. So this is kind of more of the same. And if you look back to even the 2008-2009 economic downfall, it took Illinois about 10 years to actually get out back to where they were before that economic downturn, the housing crisis. And then all of a sudden COVID happens and the states saw the economic impact from that, just as states across the country saw that. But it also took Illinois longer to get to pre-pandemic economic numbers than most other states. And the latest numbers just solidify what Illinois has experienced in its economy with an overall unemployment rate of 4.8% in February. And researchers also finding there are 66,000 jobs that were lost in the entire year of 2023. So obviously this has some pointing to the business climate in the states where you've got high property taxes. In some research, it shows it's the second highest in the country. You've got high sales and local taxes and a variety of other policies that aren't friendly to the business community. So whether or not there's going to be some policies to address the negative business climate has yet to be seen. But Republicans at the State House, which, Dan, are the super minority in both chambers, the House and the Senate, they're saying there needs to be a political sea change and more Republicans need to be elected, they say, in order to bring about that sea change. Without it, they say that there's really not going to be any progress moving forward in changing the state's business climate to create more jobs, to create more opportunity, to lower taxes, to make Illinois more of a place that attracts these outside investors, but also gives current businesses in the state the opportunity to invest in their businesses and grow. So this, on top of the population decline that the state of Illinois has experienced in the past 10 years, 10 straight years of decline, you've got some at the State House and across the state pointing to the bad policies and not seeing much progress in trying to reverse those things.
Yeah, and with some economists warning of a pending recession, Greg, you have to wonder if if Illinois again is going to be behind most other U.S. states if we do hit a recession in recovering from one. Hopefully, there's not a recession. Of course, you still have higher costs from inflation, even though they've eased. It is still elevated. Interest rates are extremely high. So time will tell how Illinois' economy will fare going forward. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Listeners can keep up with all of the stories we talked about and more at thecentersquare.com.